people comments about the Lord's Supper as we gather together to do those things. So at this point, we're going to talk a little bit about Scripture, and I guess we class it as a sermon. I want to look at something called the priestly blessing in Numbers, the 6th chapter. Priestly blessing. If you have your New Testaments, turn to that. I don't have a PowerPoint. In a book filled with numbers, it's called Numbers, and lists, we find a beautiful gem of Scripture which has been called the Lord's Prayer of the Old Testament by some. There's a song in our song book, number, I think, 670, that adapts the words of this Scripture to music. It's, unfortunately, it's a little hard to sing. There's a lot of parts in it. It's a short song, but a little bit difficult, and so we don't sing it much. But the words from it are adapted from this Scripture, Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. And it goes like this. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, Thus you shall bless the sons of Israel, and you shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel. Then I, God says, will bless them." And so the high priest Aaron and his sons were to invoke this blessing of God on the children of Israel, on the nation of Israel. And as noted, it is the blessing of the Lord which Aaron and his sons were to bless the children of Israel. God worded the blessing that Aaron and his sons were to use. What do you want me to do? Got it. All right. And so God actually worded the blessing that Aaron and his sons were to use. And Aaron, of course, was the first high priest. And then his sons and their prodigy down through the ages were the priesthood. And they became the priestly tribe, the Aaronic priest, as it were. And therefore, the passage has often been called the priestly blessing, because it was the high priest who gave the blessing that God had worded for them. In this passage, we learn that things about the Lord which are just as true today as it was back then. We'll look at it kind of in a little detail level from the Old Testament view, and then we'll look at the New Testament as well. And the point here is that we also have a high priest. And Jesus is our high priest. And we are all priests within the Lord's body. And as we look at this passage, we look at the first phrase, "The Lord bless and keep you." That's number 6, verse 24. The word "bless" means to confer well-being or prosperity. The promise of such blessings was conditional. If you turn over to, if you hold that place in Numbers, turn over to Deuteronomy 28, the first 6 verses, it says, "Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all of his commandments which I commanded you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground and the offspring of your beasts, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out." If they diligently obey the Lord, then they will be blessed after blessed after blessed after blessed. But failure to meet God's conditions, these are not unconditional blessings. I'm going to have to cough here. Excuse me. If you look at Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, verses 15 through 19, we see the other side of the coin, as it were. But it shall come about, if you do not obey the Lord your God, to observe it and do all of his commandments and his statutes with which I charge you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city and the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground and the increase of your herd and the young of your flocks. Cursed you shall be when you come in, and cursed shall be when you go out. And that's for not obeying, rigidly obeying God's commandments. And so the Lord bless you and keep you. Blessed is a conditional thing. The word keep means to provide for, to care for, to guard, to protect. Us grandparents, when they're the parents of a grandchild, allow us to keep that grandchild. There are certain understandings that we're going to have to take care of, provide for, feed, and clothe, as it were, care for, protect, guard, and protect that child. And so as God has said to bless you and keep you, then those things would apply as well. A beautiful psalm which speaks of God's care is Psalm number 121 and first eight verses. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made the heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. The word keep there, right? Verse 4, behold, he who keeps Israel will eat neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. So God promising to bless us, or bless the Israelites and keep the Israelites, was not empty. In fact, it was very involved and very deep and wide, as it were. And so the bless them and keep them, the priestly blessing says that God will keep watch over Israel. The second verse that we'll look at is, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. To make his face shine may be an idiom, probably indicating God's smile of favor, in quotes, on his people, evidenced by his being gracious, having good intentions toward. So make his face shine upon us, or upon the children of Israel, would be having good intentions for them and a warm embrace for them, so to speak. Notes how it's used in a couple of other places so we can kind of get a feel for it. In Psalms, the 31st chapter and verse 16, make your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your loving kindness. So we get an idea of what that means. In Psalm, the 80th chapter and verse 3, O God, restore us and cause your face to shine upon us and we'll be saved. And so taking care from a spiritual standpoint. And then in Daniel, the 9th chapter and verse 17, so now, our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his supplications, and for your sake, O Lord, let your face shine upon your desolate sanctuary. Listen to the prayers. Hear us. Interact with us as our requests and pleadings come before you. So God's face shine upon them has that connotation of a favorable interaction, of blessings, answering prayers, and those kind of things. To be gracious, in that same verse, means to bestow favor, especially that which is unmerited. The parallelism suggests this favor refers to the blessings and keepings by the Lord mentioned previously. And so gracious is unmerited favor, and blessing and keeping kind of all go in that together, emphasizing that such blessings are unmerited, though conditional. We looked at the conditional part of these, and so may be very honest with ourselves that these blessings are conditional in to those children of Israel. And then the phrase, "The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." Lift up his countenance may be similar to smile, a favorable impression, as it suggests pleasure and affection. It also suggests approval and recognition. As we interact with God, or as the children of Israel interacted with God, they wanted approval and recognitions for their service. And they wanted that reflected back from God. The word peace is not just absence of war, but a positive state of rightness and fullness of well-being between you and the children of Israel and God. They wanted this peace between them. And for the nation of Israel, God had promised peace if they were faithful. Again, conditional. In Leviticus 26 and verse 6, "I shall also grant peace in the land, so that you may lie down with no one making you tremble. I shall also eliminate harmful beasts from the land, and no sword will pass through your land." But it's conditional, right? We know from the history, we talked about it in the Bible class, if you were in here, about the cycles of the children of Israel through history of falling away and God having to punish them because they weren't meeting the agreement of the conditions. And there was also peace for the individual who's trusted in God. In Isaiah, the 26th chapter and verse 3, "The steadfastness of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you," because the person trusts in God. And so God commanded Aaron and his sons to bless the children of Israel with this priestly blessing, specifically because God wanted to bless them and provide for them and have this relationship with them and have peace with them. But it was conditional, right? So I've talked about that. What is the application? Okay, how about today? Does God desire to bless us? Is there a similar kind of blessing that we can find in the New Testament that would apply? And so let's look. For the phrase, "The Lord bless you and keep you," indeed the Lord does desire to bless us. And the New Testament is full of scriptures. Today, those blessings come through Jesus Christ. No surprise there. Ephesians, the first chapter and verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." And so, I think that we're blessed way more than the children of Israel were blessed. And because we have Christ, and if we are in Christ, then we have all those blessings coming at us. They come especially to those described in Matthew, the 5th chapter, in verses 3 through 12. It's a list, and we'll go through them. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be fulfilled or satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. In that which you give, then that which you receive. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me," Jesus says. "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And so, if you're persecuted as a Christian, as someone who believes in the divinity of Jesus and the creation of Genesis and all the things in between, if you're persecuted for that, count it all joy, because God will reward that for you. And the Lord desires to provide and care for us all, as described by Jesus again in Matthew, the 6th chapter, in verse 25 through 32. For this reason I said to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Sometimes we let the worries of, and we've had some worries in the last year or so, haven't we? We let those worries overtake our confidence in God. Continuing, are you not worth much more than the birds of the air? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to your life? Rhetorical question. It doesn't help to worry. And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. They're beautiful. God just made it so. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow God throws into the furnace, it's going to be burned up for heat, will he not much more clothe you or take care of you or keep you? Oh, you of little faith. Do not worry then, saying, what shall we eat? What are we going to drink? Where are we going to go? How are we going to get there? Oh, my goodness, what do I wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. But your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Sometimes we get our needs and not our wants, and there's a difference there, isn't there? But this care is conditional, the condition described in Matthew, the 6th chapter, and verse 33, and we're all familiar with that passage. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. We'll get what we need if we seek God's kingdom first and God's righteousness first. The priestly blessing will be upon us if we'll seek God's righteousness and God's kingdom. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. That part of that Numbers chapter 6. Just as all spiritual blessings come through Jesus, so God's grace is now manifested through his Son Jesus. In John, the 1st chapter, verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And so if we have Christ, we can put on Christ. We can be a part of his body. And we have grace. And we have care. And we have relationship through Jesus with our Father in heaven. God desires to show his smile of favor upon us as well. But it's imperative we not receive it in vain. In 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 through 3, and working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. This grace of God that comes through this relationship through Christ, being a part of the body, having a relationship with the Father through Christ. For he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, giving no cause for offense in anything, that the ministry may not be discredited. Get to work. Do the things you committed to do when you receive the grace. May it not be in vain. Is the grace spent on me in vain if I receive it and then don't do what I need to do? That's probably a lesson for me and for a lot of people. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Through Christ, peace with God is now available. This peace of the New Testament is not necessarily between individuals or groups of people or nations, or people have that so confused. It's peace between God and man, between you and Father in heaven. And in 1 John, Romans, the 5th chapter and verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way we will have it. We will not have peace through any other means. And then when he was talking about the blessings, let's not receive them in vain. The grace, don't receive it in vain. The peace, we can't receive it in vain. We have to do our part. God gives it freely, but we have to do our part to keep it. And we continue to pray, as we continue to pray, God bestows peace through His Son. In Philippians, the 4th chapter, verses 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So some people might say, well, God knows everything. He knows what I need. He knows what I want. The exercise of prayer is necessary. It's a part of submitting to God, not saying, He ought to just give me what I need because He knows everything. And that's almost an arrogant, I'm level with God kind of attitude. Prayer is a humble approach to the throne of God. Prayer is asking fervently for yourself or other folks or your children or a sick brother or sister in a humble manner. Everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, then, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So things we get back from this prayer will be more than made up for us humbling our hearts before the throne of the God in heaven. The Father is willing to give us peace, but we have to accept it. And it's all conditional. So we've been talking about this priestly blessing in Numbers chapter 6. And God blessing the children of Israel, but it was all conditional, and He blessed them and keep them and smile upon them and give them peace. And Aaron the high priest and the subsequent high priest would offer these blessings. And we have noted the same sort of blessing is available today to us in the New Testament. But the blessings of God are bestowed through his Son, Jesus Christ, who is our high priest. In the Old Testament, the high priest offered the prayer of blessing that God worded for them. And in the New Testament, our high priest is Jesus. And in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, beginning in verse 14, it says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. He's the high priest. Hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. Why is that? Because he experienced them. He walked this earth. He was tempted in all things. But we have one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. The perfect person on the earth. Therefore, because of that, in view of Christ's sacrifice and Christ's perfection and Christ being tempted as we are, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The high priest we have gives us all the things that the children of Israel so desperately wanted and that Aaron, the high priest, gave them at the direction of God. And we have a high priest that gives us all things, even more than the children of Israel, God. The point of the lesson is really simple, but I think it's profound. If you desire the priestly blessing today of our high priest, which is Jesus, you must be in Christ. And he must be your high priest. And that is how God is blessing his people today, rather than the way he did it in the old times. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Even more than the children of Israel were promised, even more than they got from God, is we get every spiritual blessing through our high priest, Jesus Christ. And so, I'll wind this up at this point with Galatians, the 3rd chapter, verses 23 through 29. Paul writes the church to the Galatians, but before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed, before faith came, before the Christian dispensation came. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under the tutor. We're no longer under that old law. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself or put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, and here I have underlined, you are Abraham's descendants and heirs to the promise. And we're going to talk about that in the Romans class, Bible, adult Bible class, with baptism, we are sons of God through Christ. With baptism, we're clothed or put on Christ. With faith and baptism, we are one in Christ. With faith and baptism, we are Abraham's descendants. No matter what our physical ancestry is, it doesn't matter if we were ancestors of Gentiles or ancestors of Jews. With faith and baptism, we are Abraham's descendants. We are the seed of Abraham. With faith and baptism, we are heirs according to the promise. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, then I will bless them. We have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who will do that and more to us if we'll accept him and we accept his blessings, but not in vain, as it says, but we'll accept his blessings and do our part as well. We can help you in any way, either in primary obedience or in repentance of sin. You know, we're all humans and we're all on this earth just trying to get to heaven. And we all make mistakes. So the worst mistake made is to not repent of a mistake. Because as we talked in the Romans class, God is building up wrath against each one of us as we sin and don't repent. But if we repent, all that wrath goes away. Do that if you will, and accept God's grace and not in a vain way as we stand and as we sing the song.
Just go.